Welcome into a special edition of the Valley Experience podcast. I'm Ryan Pasesnik alongside Logan Lober, and we have a special guest with us here today, Jake Brown, joining the podcast. Obviously, big news broke on Father's Day on Sunday about Bradley Beal getting traded to the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, this is a huge deal for not only the Suns, but also NBA fans in general, as the Suns acquire the superstar from the Washington Wizards. And we're here to actually have, we're going to be talking about all of that in depth. But first, we want to introduce Jake here because Jake, you followed the Wizards when you were living in Maryland. And obviously, you know about the team probably more than we do. So first and foremost, like, what are your thoughts on like the whole situation? And is this any and at all a surprise to see Bradley Beal end up in purple and orange?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise for him to be traded. I think everyone knew when he signed that insane contract that it was going to be a mess, and it did end up being a mess. And the Wizards need to get that off the books as soon as possible. He had wanted, rumors have been swirling about him being traded after John Wall got traded a while ago. And it felt like when I heard that the Suns were attached, I was like, it would be interesting to see him, KD, and Booker together. And I wouldn't be surprised if the price is really low. And it wasn't that low. And for Wizards fans, it was really disheartening because you want a guy who has spent a decade with this team to have more of a return back, but because of how bad that contract was, it limited the return.
You kind of touched on that there where, you know, you weren't that surprised at the return being low. You know, we've seen guys recently, just last offseason, like Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert getting these huge trade packages in return. So now that the Wizards obviously didn't get that huge trade package for Beal, what do you think the direction they're going to be going in, not only just this summer, but in the future as well?
I always like to say that the Wizards are a team without a vision. And it all started when they traded John Wall a while ago. It felt like a while ago. It was like a few years ago. And then Rui Hachimura got traded. And then now Bradley Beal got traded. Kyle Kuzma is going to walk in the offseason and play somewhere else. And now you're left with Kristaps Porzingis and Corey Kispert. And as much as I love Corey Kispert because he's a Zag and I love my Zags, it just feels like it's just a bunch of guys. It feels like a G League team going out there now with Kristaps Porzingis and Corey Kispert. And you wonder, you know, they're going to have to stockpile draft picks if they want to get rid of KP. But, you know, you're not going to get a lot of return for him. I don't even know if they want to trade him unless he asks. And letting Kuzma walk when he had a chance to trade him at the deadline last offseason was just a big mistake.
I want to switch on over to just like Bradley Beal in general, because I mean, any basketball fan knows him as being a superstar in this league. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on how do you think he's going to pair up with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant? And what do you think he's going to do for the vibe of the locker room? Like, do you see Bradley Beal as being a good locker room guy?
He wasn't really known much as a big locker room guy in Washington. And now that Chris Paul is gone, it feels like there's a lack of a real clubhouse leader in that locker room. Because KD isn't that guy. Booker could be that guy, but with veterans like Beal and Durant on your team, it's not going to happen. Maybe if he's 5 years older, he could be. And their bench is just a bunch of nobodies. I mean, there's no depth on this team anymore. So it feels, I see a lot of people comparing this to the Harden Irving KD team. I don't think it's going to be that disastrous, but I don't think it's going to be like when KD joined the Warriors, because that Warriors team was already stacked to begin with and they already had team camaraderie. This team, the Suns, do not.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, yeah, you brought up the Nets comparison there. I think, yeah, I agree with you. It's not, I don't think it's going to be that bad. But also, like, if the Nets were able to stay healthy, I don't think there's too many teams that were going to stop them. So I think you could say the same thing with the Suns. If they can stay healthy, obviously there's still a lot of pieces that need to, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to add to this team this summer. So, you know, it's a work in progress, but I mean, I'm still happy with the deal at the end of the day.
Right. And you also have to wonder about the DA situation, because there were a bunch of stuff that came out, I believe it was yesterday, that said Monty wasn't a real fan of DA and Jay to begin with. And he's a player's coach for the players he likes, and he didn't like Jay or DA. Maybe Frank Vogel won't be like that. He's coached some really good centers before, and maybe he can help develop DA, but the most important part of this field trade, in my opinion, is actually the development of DeAndre Ayton.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and actually circling back to your point there, Jake, because Vogel has had a history of coaching some really good centers in his time as an NBA head coach. I mean, Logan and I have analyzed that over the past couple of shows that we've done. I mean, you think about Roy Hibbert when he was with the Pacers. You think about Nikola Vucevic when he was with the Magic, and most recently when he was the head coach with the Lakers. In coaching up Anthony Davis. So, and I know for Suns fans, it's easy for us to get hard on DeAndre Ayton because we expect so much of him. And the potential is clearly there. And I hate using that word, especially since this is DeAndre Ayton's going now into his sixth year in the league, because at this point, you have to solidify yourself as being that dominant player and getting over the potential hump. But I think that, like you said, Monty Williams was not a big fan of DeAndre Ayton. That was clear, really, I think, after the Suns lost in the finals. And maybe hopefully Frank Vogel can be that guy that can really take DeAndre Ayton's game to the next level. Because there's, despite DA's consistency from time in, or excuse me, inconsistency from time to time, you still can't help but see that he has some raw athleticism and, dare I use this word, potential as well.
Yeah, you use the word potential goes around DeAndre Ayton a lot, and I really want him to succeed. You know, that's, you know, I'm been a fan of DA for a while. It's just frustrating, I think, is the word that I use, that I think of the most when I think of DeAndre Ayton, because he's almost there. I feel like he's almost over the cusp to becoming a really good center in this league. He's just hasn't taken that leap. And maybe it was coaching that was holding him back. Maybe a new coach could be the solution to this. And another player like Beal on the team.
Yeah, I think the DA situation is just a crazy one, especially now after the trade, because you know, we talked about in previous episodes talking about Frank Vogel, and I think that Vogel could have a huge impact on a guy like DA. We've talked about his success with centers in the past, but the thing that just makes it more difficult now is that, you know, it seems like every time we talk about the Suns now, it's depth. Like, what are they going to do about the depth? And now that Ayton is really their only asset to upgrade the team in general, you know, you want to see what Vogel can do, but at the same time, you want to build the best team as possible. And I feel like they're, you know, they're kind of got their hands tied because Ayton's really the only, moving Ayton is really the only thing they can do to really balance this team out. Obviously, they don't have the draft picks. And they don't have, you know, the other tradable pieces.
They don't have draft picks. And the fact that every other of the 29 teams know that DeAndre Ayton is a liability will hurt his trade stock more, because the Suns would be so-called desperate to move him. They won't get as much of a package.
Yeah, and you also think about it as well. I mean, to pay DeAndre Ayton the amount of money like the Suns are, I mean, let's face it, I don't really think he's earned that max extension credential, because there are times where he doesn't look like he's a max player. And so when you're paying him all of that money now, you could probably allocate it to our other solid players to build around now your core big three. And like you guys were just saying, I mean, build that depth that the Suns definitely need.
Yeah, and there's a way you could probably do that if you take a desperation deal for Ayton on our end and get, you know, scraps. You're still getting rid of $30 million off the books that you can use half that for two other pretty decent players.
I think a lot of teams, when you know, talking about his contract, a lot of teams now, looking at the situation now, would probably be hesitant to give him a max deal. But also, and I've mentioned this in previous episodes, but you also look at, you know, now with the situation about Monty coming out yesterday and seeing a guy like Mikal Bridges go to a different team and just breaking out and becoming, you know, a potential star in Brooklyn, I think a lot of teams would maybe be fine with taking a chance on Ayton, because just the way that the Suns have handled him, the way that Monty handled him. So, you know, maybe DA, I know it's still in there, and I think maybe it's just, he just needs a change of scenery to really break out.
Right. But you wonder if it's the risk that's willing to take, because maybe he goes to another team and still flounders. I mean, flounders in, you know, that sort of sense, but you know, maybe he doesn't break out like he should be breaking out. It's just, like I said, he's almost there. He just needs to get over that hump, and change of scenery, coaching change could do that. And so far we've done the coaching change. If it doesn't work out, then I don't know, with Frank Vogel, I don't know what you do at DA.
You know, it's interesting. I'm glad that you guys are actually talking about this, because I saw this tweet from Flex from Jersey, and he said, and I quote, "The Suns are indeed having conversations with several teams regarding DeAndre Ayton. Boston and Atlanta are two teams I'm told to keep an eye on regarding Ayton, with the Suns looking to build depth after acquiring Bradley Beal from Washington." Boston certainly, I think, is the team, if the Suns were to make a deal with them, about really getting the most out of a DeAndre Ayton trade, because maybe you could ask for players like Malcolm Brogdon or Robert Williams, even in that deal, to really build around. But I'm just curious to see, like, do you guys see like any other teams around the league that would be willing to take on DeAndre Ayton, and maybe the Suns get a hefty return for the trade?
You know, when I think of teams that would like DA, it would be either the teams like Detroit, who are just out of it and would just like a superstar on their team, or a contender like Boston, who just needs a center. And I think Boston is a good fit, because they have assets that they can trade back in players and bodies. Obviously, I don't think we'd be getting many draft picks on the return, but you know, just getting that contract off the books, getting him somewhere else, and upgrading at forward and center after the trade could be something that could go the Sun's way.
Yeah, I think you know, you mentioned before that some teams might be hesitant to take that risk of bringing on Ayton and his contract. I think the teams that would be more willing to take a risk like that are these teams with less expectations. So obviously Boston doesn't really fit that. I was kind of surprised by that, to hear Boston's interested, but they do have they could use a guy like Ayton at center. But the teams that came to mind, like these lower expectation type teams, Atlanta obviously made sense. You know, you mentioned Detroit I think a team like Orlando would be willing to take a chance on a guy like Ayton. So, you know, these younger teams who are still trying to put all the pieces into their young core, I think would definitely have interest in a guy like Ayton.
I actually was just thinking about something you guys just mentioned about teams that really don't have expectations about maybe potentially looking into trading for DeAndre Ayton. I want to bring up a team that had interest, according to reports last summer, in the Indiana Pacers, which that would be a team right there where you think about it, they're kind of stuck in neutral right now. It doesn't look like they're going to do anything significant over the past or over the next couple of seasons. So maybe that could be a team that the Suns could look into making a potential deal. And you certainly have to like the some of the players that are on there, like Buddy Hield, maybe being one, or like, I mean, I highly doubt Tyrese Halliburton, but maybe potentially Miles Turner, who's a super athletic center. So I'd probably say watch out for a team like Indiana to maybe be in the mix. What do you guys think?
I really like Bo's deal of in the report that said DeAndre Ayton for Miles Turner, because, you know, number one overall pick, he has that potential, put him on a good team, and he should be really good. And like you said, Ryan, they're stuck in neutral. They need a little bit of change, and DeAndre could add that.
Yeah, I like Indiana as a fit a lot too. Obviously, there's interest last summer. Indiana was the team that gave him the contract sheet before the Suns match. So obviously there's got to be some interest there. As far as a trade, you know, I would love Miles Turner in return. And, you know, overall, I just think Indiana would be a good fit for him. You know, he's got the Arizona connection with Mathurin. There's also another Arizona connection, which could be coming back to the Suns, and a deal would be TJ McConnell. I think that would be a good piece off the bench, like a nice veteran point guard. So a lot of connections there, but obviously it looks like it could be between Boston and Atlanta, according to Flex.
I kind of want to segue. I think that, look, both of those teams certainly have pieces that would be intriguing for the Suns. I mean, if we're focusing also on Atlanta here as well, I mean, they could potentially give up Clint Capella, who, I mean, he's a guy that can really go up and get those tough boards. I remember this was actually when the Suns had the first overall pick in 2018, and there were suggestions that the Suns could trade for Clint Capella at that time, because he was just a guy that was not really proven, was young and up and coming. And I mean, Capella has proven to be a really solid rebounder, especially getting those tough offensive boards. So, and that's no disrespect to DA, because DA from time to time has shown that he can go up and get those tough rebounds as well. Although I think it'd be interesting, because Capella really isn't the type of scorer that DA is. So I don't really know if that would be like much of an upgrade if you do get a guy like Capella, at least on the point scoring, but certainly I would have to expect on the rebounding side of things.
But when you look at the Suns, you already have three really good scorers. At two at guard, one at forward. And the thing that killed the Suns in the playoffs was the fact that they couldn't rebound. And DeAndre Ayton was that reason, because he wasn't up getting the boards.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, that would certainly add that extra dynamic that the Suns have been missing. A guy that can at least go up and get rebounds, because the Suns don't need a center to constantly score, because like you just alluded to, Jake, they have like now three of the best scorers in the league right now. And maybe like if the Suns were to match up against the Nuggets, it would hopefully be a different story with having Capella on the team, because you can now rely upon him to do just that, get those tough boards.
Yeah, it certainly adds to the dynamic, and certainly would round out the team instead of just making the team look like just a team that scores. You need a team that can be defensive and a team that can rebound. And with the loss of Chris Paul, you lose that defense and passing game. And Beal and KD are not known defensive players. So if you can get a defensive-minded center, because that's what Frank Vogel has really coached throughout his career. DA, it's not one of those defensive centers. Put one of them at center on the Suns makes the Suns look much better than before.
I wanted to actually go back to the Beal trade for a second. You know, it seemed like as time kept passing by, the Wizards just went ahead and threw in a couple extra players for the Suns to have. And one, Jordan Goodwin, and found out yesterday Isaiah Todd was actually going to be coming back to Phoenix as well. So I know a lot of Suns fans seem to be excited about the idea of what Jordan Goodwin could be. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you know about him for people who aren't familiar with them and what Suns fans can expect with him.
I mean, yeah, he's a really good shooter. I mean, 44% from the field and 32 from three. I'm not sure if he's going to be getting a lot of starting minutes.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting a lot with the well, he was getting a decent amount, but a lot towards the end of the year. He had a 22 game towards the end of the year when he was starting most of the time. And I think he could be a really good fit for this team off the bench. I'm not sure about in the starting lineup.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it seems like he might be kind of a similar player, play a similar role as Josh Okogie did this past season, you know, kind of a wing guy who's obviously going to have a lot of effort on the defensive side of the ball, solid rebounder, and can hit down a three every once in a while. But obviously, he's not going to be relied upon as a shooter. So, I mean, at this point, the Suns, if you can be, you know, scrappy and play good defense, hit a corner three every once in a while, I think right now you got a spot on the Suns. So, and then with Isaiah Todd, it seems like more of a project. You know, he was in the G League all last year, I believe, but only 21 years old, former five-star recruit. So, you know, maybe Vogel can get something there, and maybe we can get our G League team back. I don't know why Sarver just one of his cheap moves right there. That's a previous ownership. So hopefully Ishbia can just go ahead and get our G League team back.
Ishbia, and we can get a G League team down like Tucson or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like maybe even up in like Flagstaff, or like, you know, bring him back to Prescott as well, because that's where the I think the Northern Arizona Suns, that's where they used to play, was over in Prescott.
Yeah.
Nice area.
We got a G League team up here in Sioux Falls. The Heat's G League team is up here.
Oh yeah, that's right. I completely forgot about that. Yeah. Their development league team. They're great. Speaking of, hey, I was going to say, how I know, like, you know, obviously temperatures are starting to get really hot here in the Valley, but I know you're over in Sioux Falls right now for the broadcasting gig that you have with the Sioux Falls Canaries. How's that going so far for you?
It's going great. Getting along well with the players and management, and weather today is really nice. I took a walk this morning, got some breakfast, and it's currently at 87 degrees and partly cloudy. And you know, it was rainy last weekend, but you know, we got great weather since.
Alrighty, folks, that's going to do it for this special edition of the Valley Experience podcast. Alongside Logan Loger and special guest Jake Brown, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to tune in each week and for amazing updates and takes on all things Arizona sports and sports in general. Make sure to go and also follow Jake on social media. Jake, would you mind giving the viewers your social media if you'd like?
Yeah, you can follow me at It's Jake Sports on Twitter and Instagram. And I post all my cool Canary stuff going on.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast. This was great to have you on. And until next time, we shall see you all later. Take care, everybody.
Have a good one, everyone. Thanks for watching.